What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, that was Black Sorrow's Hold On To Me. Good to have your company on this Thursday morning. And it's very good to welcome back into the studio, if it's been a little while, is our resident doctor, Dr. Stuart. You're back.
Good morning, mate. Come back.
Nice to have you back in. It's been a little while since we caught up.
It's been way too long.
And you're looking sharp, looking very well dressed. I love your ties and cufflinks and matching socks. You just are looking incredible today.
Mike, we've had this discussion before. You know I'm a happily married man. You know this is not appropriate for a family show. Let's do that off air later.
Okay. Finish your coffee. Now, we've got a special morning today because you have invited a special guest along. So a very good welcome to the CEO of the Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre. Beck, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you in today. And we're really coming off the back of National Diabetes Week last week. And so today we thought it would be a great topic to discuss diabetes, unpack it, and then have a good conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I guess really just to kick off, I mean, it can be a little bit confusing for a lot of people, but just to even understand, what is diabetes?
Well, it's a condition that most families have been affected by in some way. They either know someone or they have someone in their close group who's been affected, and there are a number of different types. And so it's probably useful just to kind of clear that up a little bit. And the majority of what I think we will talk about today will be type 1 diabetes, but there is type 2 diabetes and there is gestational diabetes, which is a sort of transient form of diabetes that women can get during pregnancy and just afterwards. But type 1 and type 2 diabetes in particular is to do with sugar and how our bodies metabolize and use sugar. And what happens is when you eat any kind of form of food that has any kind of basic form of sugar within it, carbohydrate or a more pure form of sugar, your body takes that into the stomach, the acids start to digest it and it goes into the bloodstream. But it can't do a lot just floating around in the bloodstream, and it's actually quite harmful on its own floating around in the bloodstream. So the body uses a hormone called insulin, which most people will have heard of, in order to take that molecule of sugar and drive it into every single cell of our bodies that can then use it. And the trouble in diabetes is either one of a couple of things. In type 2 diabetes, oftentimes we've put on too much weight and the body is resisting insulin, so it takes a lot more insulin to actually drive that sugar into cells, and eventually the pancreas, which produces the insulin, just kind of gives up. In type 1 diabetes, it's a different story. It's an autoimmune condition, which means the body, for some reason, has identified a part of the pancreas as being the plague.
Okay.
And it starts to attack it and it starts to destroy it. And that prevents the pancreas from producing insulin in the first case. So the person can't produce insulin, and therefore they are dependent upon medication, insulin or other forms, to help to survive. And if we don't give them it, they will die. So it's a very, very important condition, and that's the one that I really want to talk about today.
Okay, so today there's so much to unpack here, Dr. Stuart. But we're just going to focus on type 1 today. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back because Beck, you were diagnosed with type 1 at the age of 17.
Yes, that's right.
So we'll come back and have a chat about that and be able to share your experience, and we'll talk a little bit more about type 1 diabetes this morning. You are on 98.5. If you have a comment or would like to join the conversation this morning, you can text in 0429 985 985 is the number. Back after Phil Collins. At 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio this morning is our regular guest, Dr. Stuart. And Dr. Stuart has brought in a special guest today off the back of National Diabetes Week last week, CEO of the Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre. Beck, it's really good to have you in today talking about type 1 diabetes. Now, you were diagnosed when you were 17. You've been living with this and dealing with this for the 20 years. Can you just share a little bit about what that's been like for you?
Oh, look, I think diagnosis with type 1 diabetes is life-changing. It turns your life upside down and it becomes a whole new normal, because every time you eat or move your body, you're having to think about managing your blood glucose levels, and that happens around the clock. So it is an intense diagnosis to experience. It impacts every member of a family. It certainly impacted every member of my family, and there is a vertical learning curve to become knowledgeable about it.
Interesting. How do you treat it? What does that look like?
So the aim of type 1 diabetes management is to keep blood glucose levels in a safe range. The magic numbers are 4 and 8 millimoles of glucose per litre of blood. And trying to stay in that safe range means managing a whole lot of different factors. So the first thing is, when you don't make insulin, you've got to replace it all day, every day. And people do that through using insulin pumps, which pump insulin and infuse it into their bodies around the clock. Or they use injections, and that's what I've chosen to use. I've had more than 44,000 injections of insulin since I was diagnosed. And beyond insulin therapy, type 1 diabetes also requires round-the-clock glucose monitoring. So we do that through pricking our fingers constantly and testing our blood with a little machine called a glucometer. Or more recently, technologies emerged called continuous glucose monitoring. And it's remarkable technology where we can wear a sensor that is embedded under our skin, and that will send glucose readings to a phone around the clock again. So 288 glucose readings in a 24-hour period.
How long has this been? I've never heard of this. Is this fairly recent technology?
It's been out for a number of years.
Okay.
It is our government subsidises it for people under 21, and at the Family Centre we would really love to see the government looking at supporting people over the age of 21 to be able to fund this technology, which they currently fund out of pocket. It costs between $4,000 and $5,000 a year to run a CGM, but it can prevent deaths. It sets off an alarm system if blood glucose is too high or too low, and gives us an early warning.
And it's all automated?
Yes.
As opposed to, there would be a lot of people in our community that would be constantly checking.
Checking, exactly.
It's a constant thing. How often? Like every, are you talking about every hour, every half hour, every few hours? Like, what does that look like for those people testing?
Yeah, so you want to think about, the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning with type 1 is watching my blood glucose levels.
Yeah,
so there's always a first thing in the morning test. Then every time you eat, you need to know what your glucose level is so you can calculate your insulin dose. So you're testing each time you eat. You're testing before, during, and after exercise. You're testing before bed and sometimes during the night. So it is really a 24-hour management regimen.
I remember when I first met Beck, we were up at the Type 1 Family Centre, and she had this beautiful slide, or there was this beautiful slide somebody put up, showing that there's actually 42 things that have been shown to impact on blood glucose levels. 42, I can barely count to 42 some mornings, Mike, but you know, Beck's got to wake up and start to consider some of those and do that throughout the day, all day, every day.
Yeah, amazing. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. If you've just tuned in, my guest in the studio this morning is our regular guest, Dr. Stewart, but also Beck is with us, the CEO of Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre. Back after this one. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Regular guest Dr. Stewart is with me in the studio, and along with CEO of the Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre, CEO Beck. It's really good to have you in, Beck. We're talking about Type 1 diabetes today. Can I ask you, you were diagnosed when you were 17. You've been dealing with this for the last 20 years. Is there life expectancy with Type 1? What does that look like? Was it just one of those things that you just have to keep managing for the rest of your life?
Life expectancy is normal if people with type 1 diabetes can maintain their blood glucose levels over the long term inside the target range. But we've had a recent paper that was published just a month ago in a medical journal that did an audit of all the Australian diabetes centres, and it showed that only 13% of Aussies with type 1 diabetes are managing to do this. So that's setting them up for a lifetime risk of complications related to their health.
So you have to manage it well.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's critical, Mike. And the trouble is diabetes, as we talked about earlier, sugar in your system, your body doesn't like it. It starts to affect the blood vessels. It starts to affect the nerves, particularly in the the more peripheral areas, like the legs and feet. It affects your kidneys, it affects your eyes. There's massive impacts, and some of the deterioration is not reversible. If we leave it too long, then it, I've certainly got patients who have had amputations as a consequence of diabetes, who have visual problems, kidney problems, lots and lots of nerve problems. These are and with that comes vascular problems. They have ulcers, leg ulcers, which are very, very difficult to treat and cause a huge amount of morbidity in patients. You know, huge amounts of impairment in their quality of life as a consequence of these things. They're having to come and see me maybe once or twice a week. Some patients have to come in and get their dressings changed on these leg ulcers. And these are patients who are not as old as we would necessarily believe.
Well, I was just going to ask that. I mean, who is affected?
Generally, well, the patients who I see tend to be in their 40s and above. But, you know, 40s young. In this day and age, I'd like to think 40. My goodness, Mike, I'm in trouble, and so are you. Well, if 40's not young.
Well, we're only just over 40, so
some of us are definitely older than others, Mike. But let's leave that for the listeners to try and determine which one of us is the. I'm just going to go with your beard is giving away more than you would like to think in that front.
I might shave tomorrow.
Don't shave it, Mike. I like it.
Well, Beck is a great example because you were diagnosed when you were 17, so it really can be at any age. Would that be fair to say?
It happens. So type 1 is diagnosed exclusively under the age of 40, essentially, but generally in young childhood, early childhood into the teens. And actually, probably Beck is towards the upper end of what would be considered the normal peaks of at 17. So often we're having kids who are not even into their teens yet, and certainly even younger, considerably younger. Type 2 diabetes is the one that more classically is diagnosed over the age of 40.
Okay, we'll take a break. Speaking of type 2, we've got some questions coming through. Thank you, Namala from Lower Chittering, is asking, it's type 2 related. So we thank you for your message, Namala. We'll tackle that maybe another time, is because there's so much to unpack just with type 1 today. We'll take a break, come back after this one. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. On at 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. My guest in the studio this morning has been our regular guest, Dr. Stewart, and special guest today, CEO Beck, Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre. Beck, it's been good having you in. Interesting conversation, learning a lot about Type 1. To finish off today, can you just share with us what sort of support is available for people with Type 1?
Yeah, so I'm from the Type 1 Diabetes Family Centre. We're a non-profit service in Stirling. We're established in 2015, and we were really born out of the compelling need for better support for people with Type 1 Diabetes. We're here to connect, support, inspire, inform people with Type 1, but not just patients, their families and the people who care about them as well. So we really zoom out, and we take care of everyone who's in the close network of someone who's impacted by this condition. And we do that with an integrative model of care. So we're not just focused on insulin therapy. We're also talking about nutrition, physical activity, mental wellness, peer support. And we provide that with expert healthcare and wraparound mental health, psychological and social support through camps, workshops and events. We hold more than 30 events a year. We get people together and we provide them with touch points that not only support their health, but also their mental health as well and their families. So that's where the magic happens, I think, is surrounding people with a community of others who have lived experience with the kinds of things that they're grappling with every day and making them feel like they're not alone.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's you're dealing with it, aren't you? And you're conscious of it, as we mentioned at the start. Really appreciate you coming in today, and thank you, Dr. Stewart, for bringing in our expert regarding type 1 diabetes. Lots to learn there, and a lot to get better. We can improve on, as you mentioned earlier, Beck, with the device you've got. But that's amazing.
It's good.
It's
brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
So good.
Mike, we can't overstate the service that the Type 1 Family Centre provides. And an important thing to bear in mind here is the government provides no funding whatsoever for them. They are entirely self-funded. And the service is critical, absolutely critical to the families. Can you imagine, you're a parent of a child, 10, 11, 12 years of age. You are up through the night, most nights, yourself, your partner, looking after this disease that will kill your child if you don't do something, do the right thing. And it's terrifying for people who have never been in that situation. So the support and the provision critical. Of service that they provide is utterly critical, and I can't commend them highly enough.
So good. Thank you, Doctor. We shall catch up in a few weeks' time. And Beck, really appreciate you coming in and sharing all your expertise today as well.
Thanks for having me.
You're on at 98.5. You are listening to Weekdays with Mike.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.